Most of you are aware that this past week, a group from Roanoke attended a summer camp in East Texas in the small community of Maud and Redwater, that area, at Camp Ida. And this was my first time at that particular camp. We've done camp for a number of years, but this was the first time there. And I must say that it was one of the best camp sessions that I've ever been a part of, real close to the top. The theme was Soldiers of Christ Arise. And the lessons, the whole theme for the week was centered around Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God, and the fact that we are very much in a conflict between good and bad, and we are very much like soldiers as Christians. And so the kids had opportunity to study from that mindset, from that perspective. They had the opportunity to make a number of crafts that were pertinent to those discussions. And all week long, even during their free time, especially the young boys, some of the girls, but especially the young boys, were running around with bows and swords and shields and helmets that they had made. And I guess probably the thing that made it so special for me was to see them carrying the lessons into their free time and playing and doing the very same thoughts and ideas that they had studied about in their Bible classes. On Tuesday night, I had opportunity to preach to the group that was assembled there, and had the topic, "We're Marching to Zion." And in that particular lesson, I endeavored to show just how much like military marching Christian marching is. And I thought, since I'm still in that mode and geared up toward this soldier theme, that it would be good to present that same message this morning. So to those who have already heard it, I almost said I'm sorry, but hear it again. And to those who have it, I hope that this will be as beneficial to you as it was for me in my study and preparation, and from the feedback that I received at camp, as good as it was for the campers. There are many connections between being in the military and being a Christian. I have drawn on those connections on numerous occasions in my preaching to try to demonstrate the things that I perceive having been in the military, and I'm sure others who have had that experience could say the same thing. But just think about our singing for a moment. I mean, we sing songs like "Soldiers of Christ Arise." We sing songs like "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?" We sing songs like the one that inspired this particular message and the one we just sang, "We're Marching to Zion." We are much like a military unit in that connection, in that relation. You may be a great warrior. You may be able, just think about it from a physical military perspective for a moment. You may be a marksman with a weapon. You may be an ace with a sword and be able to defeat all of your enemies. You may be very good at strategy. But if you don't know how to get to the battle, what good are you? What good can you possibly give or offer if you never get to the place where those skills and talents are to be used and expended? I arrived at Lackland Air Force Base on May the 12th of 1988 at about 9 o'clock at night. Got off of a bus, didn't know what to expect. But immediately, commands started coming from this drill sergeant. And The first thing I learned how to do in the Air Force was march. Before I ever got a uniform, in fact, it was, I think, 2 days before we were ever given uniforms. So we marched around in street clothes. They called us rainbows because rather than everyone being green, we were all different colors, the colors that we came to basic training in. So we were rainbows for a while, had no uniform, had nothing really to connect us to one another, but we were marching. It was the first thing that we learned how to do, and it is extremely important. It's integral to what a military unit does. And you may say today, well, there's no need for marching. I mean, we have airplanes and we have tanks and we have ships. But if you would look at that closely enough, even those tools march in a sense. They fly in a formation or they would be all over one another and destroy one another. So marching is extremely important. And I ask us this morning, do we know how to march in the Lord's army? Are we familiar with enough of the commands that are issued relative to marching to make sure that we're marching, that we're moving orderly in an orderly fashion, and that we and our efforts are actually productive rather than counterproductive? We're marching to a place. We're marching to a fight, for one, but we're marching to a destination as well. And so it's important that we understand how to march as Christians. And I want to give us five commands this morning that are essential for a physical military army to know how to move from one place to another, but also for us, for those of us in the spiritual army of Christ, and how we're to move and how we're to get from point A to point B. So consider with me, we're marching to Zion, and some commands that you and I need to know in order to march correctly. The first one is this: the command fall in precedes any marching. You have a group of soldiers standing around, talking, small talk, doing things that soldiers stand around doing. But when they hear the command, fall in, order is brought to disorder. Immediately, everyone looks for the place where they are to form lines and ranks and to get into unison with one another so that they can move to their destination. We have a similar command. We have a fall-in command relative to the army of Christ. On the day of Pentecost, there were thousands of people assembled in Jerusalem, standing around, many of them waiting on something. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter and the rest of the apostles, in a sense, issued the command, fall in. It was time for the army of God to begin its formation, for men and women to come together in unison and to form the ranks of the church. Peter said to those who had been pricked in their hearts on that occasion for the injustice that they had done toward our Lord, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. They were given the command, fall in. If you continue reading in that chapter, when you get to verses 46 and 47, you read these words: continuing daily, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. The command fall in had been issued. And men and women began to do that thing that was necessary, obedience to the gospel, to fall into the ranks of God's army. Now, with respect to a physical army, When the command fall in is given, you need to know where to fall in. Everyone needs to go to the same place to begin that formation. And so a military army, a physical army, has an individual who is called the guide. And he's the one that carries the unit flag. So he has a pole in his hand, and at the top of that pole is a flag that has the unit's name on it. For me, in my particular unit in basic training, it was the 3707 BMTS, Basic Military Training Squadron. And so when the command to fall in was issued, we looked for that flag. That was our guide. And he was the one on which we formed and we assembled to make sure that we were in the right place. I think it very interesting today, even, that when you think about the church, we have to be very careful about where we fall in. That we don't line up with the wrong group. That we don't get into the wrong formation. On a parade field in the military, there may be, if it's a change of command ceremony or something of that nature, there may be 20 different units of 40 or more people. And each of these units has its own distinct flag. They're a distinct group. And when the command to fall in is issued, you have all of these people standing around that parade ground. It would be very easy to get into the wrong group. So you have to look for the right flag. You have to look for the right banner and a symbol under the appropriate banner. And you find the guide, the one who is in the corner or to be the corner of the formation, and you line up across and back to form that formation. Now, take that thought for a moment and give it a spiritual application. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul calls Jesus the chief cornerstone. He is the cornerstone upon which the house of God is built, upon which the church forms. And he flies a flag, he flies a banner. The Bible speaks of it too in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, where it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Think about it from a spiritual perspective this morning. If I want to make sure that I'm getting in the right formation, what banner am I going to look for? Am I going to look for one that says Church of Christ? Am I going to look for one that says Christian? What good would it do to assemble or form up on any other banner or guide if this is the one that I need to be in? There are people today who are assembling and establishing themselves upon many cornerstones, different cornerstones, different guides, different banners, but they're in the wrong formation. They're not in the one that is marching to the destination that they hope at which to arrive. And so when the command fall in is issued, I need to look for the right banner. I need to make sure that I get in the right group and the right formation. And then I need to pay particular attention to my alignment. Am I directly behind the person in front of me? When I look to my right, am I lined up with the person to my right? That's extremely important. It's important that I'm in line, not only so that I can prevent stepping on the heels of the person in front of me, but so the people to my left can make sure they're lined up right, and the people behind me can make sure they're lined up right. Everyone in that assembly, in that formation, is dependent upon first the chief cornerstone, but then the people to their right, the people in front of them. Because if you're in front of me or you're to my right and you're not lined up right, there's no hope of me being lined up correctly. Can you see the spiritual implications of that? The need for ourselves to be in line with God, lined up behind our leadership, lined up with those who are in proper place so that we can make sure we are in proper place as well. Just think about some passages for just a moment relative to this. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves to them. Why? For they watch for your souls. The Hebrews writer goes on to say that they will give an account. My drill sergeant had a little bit of a sense of humor. And there was an old country boy in our unit that bounced when he marched. And after we got through most of our training close to the end, he got the humorous idea of putting this fella at the corner with the flag. And when he marched, the flag went up and down, and bounced. Well, when it comes to the spiritual army of God, we don't have to worry about the corner being incapable of doing the task that has been assigned to it, being one that people will look at and say, now that's an oddity. The one in the corner is doing his job perfectly. So if you're next to him and you're a leader in the Lord's church, in the local body of Christ, if you line up with him, you have a guarantee that you will be the model for others to line up correctly on you. And it's extremely important. You see, the people in the front of the formation, there's no one in front of them to line up on. They have to make sure that they're right. And that's a lot like the situation with elders in the Lord's church. You got to make sure that you're lined up correctly so people will have someone to look at and to line up on to make sure that they're walking correctly. I suppose that's why God says that leaders, elders, will give an account to God for the way that they've led, because it's so important that they're marching correctly and that they're lined up correctly. But all of us have that responsibility. Listen to Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, and make a spiritual application and a marching application with me from this. If you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. I've got to be lined up, spiritually speaking, with my brothers and sisters in Christ. From a spiritual perspective, that has to do with our relationship. It's going to be hard to march together if we've got problems, unresolved problems between us. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conversation, in love and spirit and faith and purity. Be an example. You may have the mindset this morning that your membership, your involvement, your association with this congregation is of little importance. I beg to differ. Because if there's one person, just one person behind you or to your left that's looking to you for alignment, and you're not concerned about your alignment, you're affecting them. There is no one that is connected with this congregation who is of no significance. Somebody's looking at you, and it may just be your children. Somebody's looking. Someone is looking at you to make sure that they're lined up correctly in the formation. And so we better be concerned about our alignment this morning when we fall into formation with God's army. The second command, after we fall in, we're on the right guide, we're under the right banner, we're lined up with one another, and we're ready to go. Guess what? The command, forward march, begins the journey. It's time to go somewhere now. Marching is not about looking pretty. Now, sometimes it is in the military. When there's a change of command ceremony and all these units line up, they fall in behind one another and they march past that new commander, and he gets a look at the units that are going to be working for him. And don't you know that he notices when people are not lined up? Don't you know he would notice that guide bouncing up and down? He would pay particular attention to those things. And so it's important, but the ultimate purpose is to actually get somewhere, to forward march and go to a destination. It's not just about looking pretty, and neither is being a Christian. It may be the case that calling yourself Christian has certain business advantages for you in the community. And you may reap rewards just because of your association with the Lord's church or a religious group of any nature for that matter. But there's a command that we need to be listening to, and it's forward march. James said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We've got to march. We have to get somewhere. And it is often the case in the Lord's church, in this formation, that people are ignoring the commands. Maybe we've fallen in. We've gotten into the formation, but we're not marching. The command forward march has been issued, and the people behind us either can't move or they're tripping over us because we're not moving. Let's think about that spiritually. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, give diligence to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. You and I are supposed to be digging into God's word, finding out how to march, finding the motivation to march, handling aright the word of truth. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We're not focused on the things that are going on around us when the command forward march is issued. In fact, in the Army manual that deals with marching, under the command forward march, it says that the soldier's eyes are to be fixed on the front. That means if a nice car drives by, you don't turn and look at it. That means if there's some commotion over here to the side, you don't turn and look at it. That means no matter how long you've been marching, if you march past a Whataburger, you don't get your mind on how good a hamburger would be at the moment and start daydreaming about that thing. You keep your eyes fixed on the front because we're going somewhere. But how many times is it the case spiritually that once we begin the journey of marching, we're distracted by the things of the world? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 reminds us that we are to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him despised the cross and the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the majesty on higher, the throne of God. He saw joy through the cross. He kept his eyes fixed on the front and he marched straight toward his destination. I indicated on Tuesday night when I preached this sermon, as I have indicated in our study of Mark on Sunday nights, the book of Mark on Sunday nights, a key word in that book that's translated immediately, steadfastly. When Jesus began his march, there were no distractions. He was led into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. He dealt with Satan directly and moved on to the next part of his mission. He didn't get distracted. Are you distracted? We're marching. But is it the case that people behind you, looking to you, are tripping over you because you're not paying attention? You see, you have to march to get to the destination, but to help the people behind you to get there as well. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, John warns, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. It has nothing to do with marching. It's of the world, and the world will pass away in the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. When the command forward march is issued, we become doers of the word, not hearers only. We begin our march toward the destination. We have to. We must. The third command that we need to be aware of is not like really the other commands that we were considering, but it is essential to the success of a marching army. And it's cadence. Cadence establishes the pulse to which the military formation moves. Some people are tall with long legs. Some people are short with short legs. And it is the case when the military formation is formed that the tall people end up moved toward the front and the short people at the back. Now, if we all had to march with the stride and the pace of the tall people, we would be strung out for a great distance. And so we need a tempo that works for everyone in the formation. A beat that we can all march to together, because we must stay together. We're a unit moving to the same place for the same purpose at the same time. This is the 1, 2, 3, 4, the left, right, left of marching. We actually sang some at camp. I will spare you of that this morning, given the circumstances. Sometimes the soldiers need a cadence that will take their mind off of the marching. If you march in combat boots for about 5 miles, there these bubble things show up on the back of your feet, on your heels, or on the bottom, or the ball of your foot. They're called blisters. Have you ever had one? It's nice when you get one to be able to sit down and nurse it, but you can't do that when you're marching. Why? Because people will trip over you. Or you will keep the people that are behind you from getting to the destination. So I need something to take my mind off of this. And sometimes the one leading the formation will sing songs as part of the 1, 2, 3, 4, left, right, left. Sometimes the songs are humorous. Sometimes they're inspiring. They're intended to remind you of your role as a soldier in the military and the importance and the pride that is associated with that calling and that responsibility and duty. And I'm telling you, it really works. It takes your mind off of it. Spiritually speaking, it's a lot like our singing in worship. Have you ever been encouraged by your brothers or sisters in Christ in worship to God when songs were part of the singing that reminded you of your ability to overcome the difficulties that you face as a Christian? To take your mind off of those hardships and to remind you that we endure the trials only but for a moment. There's a great day coming, a happy day, a joyous day. And so there's benefit to singing, and the army has realized that, and God, even before in His infinite wisdom, made that a part of our worship to Him. We sing songs with our children to remind them of the spiritual obligations and duties of life. And so we need cadence, but we need all to march to the same drum. We can't be like Diotrephes, who wanted to beat his own drum, who wanted to march to the beat of his own drum and set his own tempo, which was contrary to the tempo that God had set for the marching formation. We can't be like that, 3 John 9. We need to be reminded of what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Listen, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind, brethren. Join in following my example. And note those who so walk, as you have us as a pattern. There's a pattern to our marching as a spiritual formation. There's a spiritual cadence that God sets. And we're to listen and pay attention and march to the beat of His drum. And not our own. God calls the cadence. The psalmist said, interestingly, in Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Who's ordering your steps this morning? If you're not a child of God, and God has said, fall in. He said, become a Christian. Line up with the other saints. Be a member. Allow the Lord to add you to His body. But you've not done that. Whose drum are you marching to? If you are a Christian, but you're wayward and unfaithful in your duty and obligations to God, whose drum are you marching to? God's? No, your own. And what makes you or me any different from a Diotrephes in that regard? We need to open our ears and listen to the beat that God is tapping out on the spiritual drum and make sure we're marching to it. The cadence establishes the pulse to which we march. Number four, sometimes the command change step is necessary. This is an interesting command because it is one that you will never hear the one in charge of the formation issue. You will never hear him say, change step. It's necessary because sometimes if we get distracted by the Whataburger or the nice car that drove by or the music that's blaring from a radio of some teenager's car, whatever it is, and we get distracted, we're likely to stop for a moment listening to the cadence and we get out of step. So as I told the young people on Tuesday night, if there are 40 people in the formation and 39 of them are marching left, right, left, and one of them is marching right, left, right, and the one in charge of the group says, change step, then what do you have? You have one person marching left, right, left, and 39 marching right, left, right, because everyone responded to the command. So this is a self-initiated command. How does that work? Well, when you realize you're out of step, you change step and get into step. No one else may notice it except for the person behind you who may have wondered, well, I think he's out of step. So you do it yourself and you get in step because the person behind you is dependent upon your being right with the cadence. And so you do this automatically and it becomes second nature for a soldier who's marched any length of time. It may be kind of difficult at first until you get used to it. But you just change step and you get in sync with everyone else. I hope you could see the spiritual application of that. When you get out of step spiritually, does someone have to beat you over the head and say, you're out of step? Or are you man or woman enough or soldier enough in the Lord's army to realize on your own you're out of step and you do it yourself? You realize you're not marching with everyone else and you fix it. It ought to be second nature for us. Marching in God's army is not about lollygagging, where you walk aimlessly. There's a command for that. In the military, it's called route step. And that's the point where the cadence stops and you're really just lollygagging. You kind of have to stay in general formation, but we're not so serious about the marching at this point. It's a circumstance where there's no urgency and we're just lollygagging. Sometimes you'll see that in the military, but you'll never hear God issue the command route step, because this march is always serious. There's always cadence. And we're always headed on a journey to a particular place. There's no loafing. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 133, or the psalmist rather said, direct my steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Let me hear the cadence, Lord, so I'll know if I'm in step or out of step so I can change step. If it's necessary and when it's necessary. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're out of step, brother, sister, self-initiate the command change step. Don't force your brothers and sisters to weigh on you heavily to get you to do something that you know you should do. I mean, the cadence is loud and clear. If God is saying left, right, left, and you're marching right, left, right, it's clear. And there's no reason acceptable to God why we ought not correct our own steps when we're out of line. In the military, in an army, a soldier is supposed to do that on his own, second nature. And likewise, it ought to be from a spiritual perspective. One more command. The command, halt. This command is issued when the journey is completed. Again, the purpose of marching is to get somewhere. To get from point A to point B. It was easy to relate to out at Camp Ida with no air conditioning and temperatures in the 90s each day about how hot it is outside. And I tried to picture for them and draw a picture in their mind of times I could recall very clearly marching in a military formation. And we may have 2 or 3 miles to go, but we know where we're going, and maybe we're coming back from an exercise out in the field for 3, 5, 7 days, and we're headed back to our base camp where there's tents and there's cots, and I don't have to sleep in a foxhole anymore, and there's showers, so don't have to take a bath using my helmet and canteen. There are so many reasons to look forward to getting back to that place. And you're marching along, and it's been a long journey, but you can see just over the horizon. There it is. There's the place to which we've been marching all this time. And when you finally get there and the command halt is issued, you know the journey's over. You've made it. You've made it back. You've survived the trek. You've made it to the destination that you sought. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. There he is, at the end of our spiritual marching journey. Say, come to me. And I'll give you rest. All the spiritual blisters, all the spiritual muscle cramps, all the weariness, the concern, all of that will be relieved because the command halt will be issued and the journey will have been completed. The purpose of marching is to get to a destination. But where are you this morning? In any given military formation, as they're marching or running, we ran in formation. And on any given day in our marching or our running, someone might fall out of the formation. The goal is for them to catch up and to get back in formation. But if you don't do that, as quickly as possible, you may get to the point where you don't even see the formation anymore. You've lollygagged behind for so long that it's going to be hard to catch up. Not impossible, but hard to catch up. But one day, if you've done that and the command halt is issued, then it will not be possible to catch up. It'll be too late. Because the time for marching and arriving will be over. One day God will yell, halt. And where will you be? Will you be with the formation? Or will you have fallen out somewhere along the way? You see, a military unit marches for a purpose. They march to get there together. Everybody. Everyone arriving together because everyone in that military unit has a role to play. You may have a regular M16 rifle, but this fellow may be a machine gunner. This person over here may have the grenade launcher. This person may have the radio to call in for extra support from the Navy or the Air Force. Everybody in that formation has an important role to play, so it's important for everybody to arrive together. God was not being silly when He, by inspiration, inspired Paul to write of the church that it's like a physical body. That we're hands, we're feet, we're hearts, we're heads, we're fingers. We all have a part to play. And it's important that we move together and that we arrive together. And when the command halt is issued, it ought to be the case that every one of us is standing together in formation before God as one unit. The local congregation. The ones that we are primarily responsible for encouraging and helping along the way. One day God will yell halt. Where will you be? Will you be at the destination of the journey? Will you have called it quits somewhere along the way? Will you have not paid attention to the cadence, been out of step the whole way, and caused people behind you to be out of step and miss the opportunity of arriving? Or will you be with your brothers and sisters at the gates of that beautiful city of gold, having arrived, there to be relieved of all the difficulty and hardship that you experienced along the way? We don't know when God will issue this command, but He will. And you are closer to it today than you were yesterday. And you'll be even closer tomorrow if you delay doing what you need to do today. As Christians, we stand together, we fight together, but we also march together so we can arrive together to the place that's been prepared, where there's never any more sorrow, no night, only joy, reward, and gratitude for the opportunity to be part of an army and in a formation that encouraged us to march to the beat of the drum that God beat for us. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you got to fall in. You have to get into the formation because you can't get to the destination unless you're assembled with the right unit. The Bible speaks very clearly about obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ so that one can be added to the church, the body of Christ, the house of God, the military unit, if you will, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God called order out of disorder on Pentecost. When men and women heard the gospel, they believed it, they repented of their sins, they confessed and acknowledged Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and they were baptized in water to have their sins washed away. They lined up on that occasion. And the great thing about God's army is nothing has changed today. We fall in the same way today. And when we fall out as Christians, we get out of step, we decide to jump out of the formation, we get in by catching up, acknowledging our wrongs, and getting back in formation, listening to the drum that God beats, and march along with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so maybe you need to do that this morning. If you're not a Christian, or if you're a child of God who's marching to the beat of his or her own drum this morning, you need to change that. Because we're headed to a destination. And sometime God is going to yell halt. And it'll be too late to catch up. It'll be too late to line up then. So why not use this opportunity today as you have it before you, the only one you're guaranteed to become a Christian or to get back in step with God. If we can help you in either of these ways or in any way in a public fashion, will you come as we stand and sing?